Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so essential we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So go to adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com.
We were all once newly minted non-monogamous folks. Eyes wide open, naive, cautious, exhilarated, scared. As newbies, it's so easy to make mistakes because you don't know any better often. In monogamy, we see the script everywhere, how to behave in a relationship. But with open relationships, we need to gather that knowledge as newbies from those in the community around us. And that's what we're talking about tonight on Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight we have...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hi everybody, it's Dylan.
This is Shira B. Katz.
And Dylan sounds a lot better this week.
Oh yeah, I spent the whole week resting and I feel much better now.
But he's been healed.
You went to sleep after the last podcast recording and then just got up about 20 minutes ago.
Shh, timey-wimey stuff.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. Okay.
Did I miss a geeky reference? Is that
totally,
a Dr. Hugh
that's,
thing?
Who?
Did
you say Dr.
Hugh? It's a Dr. Hugh thing.
I'm
Dr. Hugh does travel through the world teaching children about color.
No, you don't understand. Shira just made a Star Trek reference based on the Dr. Who reference. A Dr. Hugh. Okay, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to...
It's a Borg thing. I think Ginger preferred my doctor traveling the world teaching children about color.
Yeah, it was the word play, the word nerd. People's heads are exploding now, so we should probably read.
I know the way to Ginger's
nerds!
Heart. Hey, fella, did you check out the nerd? So does anyone have business this week?
Is the Stephen Hawking visiting a swingers club good business?
Do it.
Is it good business for the club?
I think it's
because
good business
it seemed
for the club.
Like it, because everybody liked to hang out with Professor Hawking at the club, and apparently he got pictures with a lot of people.
That's just outstanding.
So we should probably elaborate for those who don't know.
Yes.
What happened here?
Apparently, the story is that Cambridge University had to put forth a statement admitting that Professor Hawking had some good fun at a swinger sex club in California. So that's fantastic. Although it does allude in the article that I read to the fact that this isn't his first foray into naughty entertainment. So
I noticed that in the article too.
Yeah, apparently he's likes his strip clubs and yay.
He's my hero.
I know. One more reason to just think he's fucking awesome. Absolutely. I love it. I really feel like if he's doing it, then I am vindicated. All is right with the world.
It's the Freedom Acres Sex Club in Devore, California.
Okay.
That would be... So I like to think that on the sign, they're going to have some sort of endorsement by Professor Hawking.
Oh boy.
Yeah, outside. That this is the club of choice. for one of the smartest men on Earth. I mean, I would.
Yeah, something about the secrets of the universe.
Yes.
Being unraveled there.
or as he said on Futurama, he calls it a Hawking hole.
Ah,
so
very
Coop,
good.
I think I know what the name of our club's going to be when we decide to open one together.
Stephen Hawking Sex Club.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Okay.
All right.
What was yours?
Obviously inferior to yours.
What was it? I want to hear it.
Discover a world of possibility.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good podcast title too.
Someone should make a podcast.
Yeah, universe of possibility. Yes. The non-monogamy podcast. TM.
Oh, so I guess that would be my business. I loved him before. I think he is brilliant. Duh. Like, yeah, understatement, but brilliant. Like, as a role model in my life. Mm-hmm. And now there's just one more reason. It makes it complete, really. Like, my worship of him is utterly and totally, completely all set. I have nothing else to say. I can die happy now.
Well, okay.
Can you just go ahead and say which club that was for all
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. I apologize. Yeah.
Actually, you know, Ginger, Cooper, we could make a pilgrimage out there, meet Shira.
And call Professor Hawking?
I think so. Or even if we can't get a hold of him, we just kind of camp the club until we do.
Until he shows up.
We'll visit it night after night. We will not stop until we see.
Relentlessly
having sex until Dr. Hawking comes in.
Sounds great to me.
And then we keep having sex when he comes in.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't expect anything less.
I will switch teams if you guys could manage to promise some Stephen Hawking action. I'll be there. I'll totally be team swinger for the
Shira, first thing you're going to have to learn about being team swinger is expectations are a bad thing.
I'm already failing.
And the expectation of hot Stephen Hawking action for you, it's not out of the question. But...
Well, she does have glasses, though.
I'll put his wheels on brake. He won't be able to get away. It'll be fine. I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
Although,
if you actually read that article all the way,
what they do is he comes in with the Legion of Nurses and then lays down fully clothed, and then people just have sex over him. I think that's how he likes it. So, like me, very much like me, he's a voyeur.
I was going to say, very much like you, you just lay down and people have sex over you?
I'm game. That sounds awesome. That might be something I want to try.
So, Jin, you're going to tie me down.
Call it the Hawking.
Right.
Yeah, so we call it tie me down.
Okay.
And have sex with people while you're above me. I like that.
And it may sound like we're joking at his expense, but we all have nothing but the utmost respect and admiration for Professor Hawking.
Absolutely. And the fact that he is
doing
his thing is just fantastic.
He is overcoming all obstacles, both socially and physically, and getting his freak on.
It's fucking cool. Because you know he authorized Cambridge to release information that he's been to the club.
Of course.
And I'm sure he said it, you know, in the, what are you going to do about it? What are they going to do to me? Whatever.
Right.
What is it going to do? Affect his his budding theories on the unified theory? I don't think so. What people think about him, I don't think he's cared about that in ages. So he can do that, and I love that he can do that.
Absolutely.
I do too. Absolutely. And I love that he can be out there. And this gets very social causey, but I really do feel this, that, you know, he's out there showing people that sex can look a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic. I think that is something that every single body, whatever your body is and how it works, everybody can use a lesson in that sex can be lots and lots of different things.
There have been some fantastic threads on Reddit, and I say threads, regarding people with disabilities still being sexual beings. And I would love to speak to somebody or hear from somebody that is successfully swinger or successfully sexual while still being disabled. I thought it was fucking cool when I was reading all about it. I mean, these were, you know, 2,000 post threads, with, you know, at least 10 or 15 people actually giving their own experiences on it. But, I just think it's awesome and I would love to hear it.
Okay. So tonight we're talking about newbies and we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves as newbies, but also in how we interact with newbies. And, I'm well known for being a friend of the newbie.
A friend of the newbie.
I really like playing with and interacting with newbies because I think a lot of it is the mentorship position. Except Shira, I like fucking them.
Yes, I was going to say so, that's for second time coming up.
A little different.
Two shows.
But with newbies, what I like about it is, you know, I really wish that we had had a better couple for our first experience. You know, she was great. He was a cock. And I like treating the newbies the way I would have loved to be treated. So when we're out on a date with people who are experienced and people who've been doing this for a long time, it's a very different type of atmosphere than when we're out with newbies and we say right off the bat, it's like, okay, if you need a moment, you know, if you need to go and talk with each other for a little bit, we are cool with that. We'll even leave the room, give you the space, you know, and I think it's, you know, it may be a little less sexy than some first experiences, which are the wild old hedonistic times where it's just like, okay, we got to do this and we got to do this now because I'm ready now and I can do it now. But I think it gives a little bit of safety. And as someone who's, we've had our fair share of newbies, most of them have left that saying definitely that they felt safe. They felt unpressured. They felt like they were able to completely control their swing destiny in the situation. My Aww. Wife does not like newbies because they don't know what they want. So we've gone back and forth because occasionally she really likes it. And usually it's when it goes really well and then they become long-term friends and all that. She just does not like the far greater risk of never seeing them again than with experienced swingers. You know, because newbies, if they pull back, often they pull back completely.
Yeah.
And with experienced swingers, if they pull back, usually you can still have a relationship with them of some sort, just maybe not that exact same one. And so we've had it where newbies realize that maybe this isn't exactly what they're looking for, or maybe they did experience some more jealousy than I expected, or maybe they just fought about it afterwards. And so it does create the greater potential for drama, but I see the reward in that. In that if you do help them succeed, I look at it the same way I looked at it when we were starting swinging, is like, even if this blew up in my face, I'm still helping Marilyn discover stuff about herself that makes her a better and more complete person. So I guess it sounds like I'm really trying to be selfless, but I'm not.
I like being with newbies, because I see the journey to become better more non-monogamous as part of an overall journey to become more open and, better with sexuality in general. So seeing people, you know, move forward and evolve into, people that are willing to look inside themselves and figure out what they like, is cool to me. And I like seeing that. So, people kind of by default that I know, you know, I feel like they would much rather be able to look in themselves and figure things out. And a lot of people don't have those skills. So moving them into non-monogamy kind of feels to me like I'm moving them in a direction where they can discover themselves better. So when they come out of it the other end and they can, I feel good about it.
I think that's really sweet. And I'm a little bit nervous about newbies, personally.
I agree. Me too.
It makes me really nervous. But I will say that there's a qualifier there. I am really nervous about playing with newbies who are already in a couple. However, I'm not so nervous about hooking up with a single newbie.
Well, there's one less potential for drama there.
Well, it's actually way more than one less. Like, there's probably like a 80% less factor for drama. It's remarkable because there's a lot less needs, a lot less insecurities. There's, you know, one person making these decisions for themselves. Whereas when a couple is opening up, it's very complicated. I make a joke all the time about new poly people whenever I'm at events that have more than one or two new poly people. I'm like, hey, can we get the red flag pins in here? Someone, please, can you get those pins in here? We need to mark these kids. They're going to hurt somebody. but it's true. It's, you know.
Shira likes to send people home crying.
Yeah, I do my best. No, but I mean, the fact is, you're more likely to make mistakes.
Never to challenge themselves to try something new in the
no,
non-monogamous
that's not
arena
true.
Again.
It's not true. I just don't know if I'm the guy to break people in. And maybe I am the guy. I'm just like, I already know what the traps are, and people have to learn things the hard way, and I don't always want them to learn it with me. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a little selfish, but, you know.
No, that's, I mean, it's not selfish at all. It's wanting experience is not a bad thing. You know, it's like, I don't necessarily feel like I'd want to line up a whole bunch of virgins and teach them the ways of sex.
Right.
In fact,
right.
I don't think I would like to have sex with another virgin as long as I live, really. Cause I've had sex with a few virgins.
There's versions of virgins.
A few versions of virgins.
Sure, we were both on that one.
And they're not great.
I think Prof and I might repel newbies at this point.
Well, you do both project the "we are confident and experienced" vibe.
Experienced, yeah.
And as newbies, when I was a newbie, confident and experienced scared the shit out of me.
Did it really?
Mm-hmm.
I would think those might be the people that you'd want to just like pick their brain, but I hear you.
Oh,
like,
I totally picked their brain. They still scared the shit out of me.
Huh. Interesting. We don't intentionally repel them. Like, we really don't. I just noticed that if I go to the place of examining our, I don't know, just even our party fun, like not even play fun, but just our party fun, that we just haven't had a whole lot of connection with people who are newbies. Although when we have, whether it's like chatting or people who've connected or people we might end up traveling with to a trip or whatever, I enjoy it from the perspective of just putting out there our experiences, and that's entertaining for me, and I do love to hear their perspectives because it does take me back to when we were
back
in that
when
place.
I was a kid.
Exactly. It takes me back. It does. But it's funny because maybe that is what it is, Coop, that we just, because we are kind of in our own fun and aren't as slow moving. I don't know. We're out there dancing, we're flirting, and we don't stop moving when we're at parties. And so maybe that opportunity is that we just miss those folks who might be hanging out at a table in the corner or something. And yeah, so we just haven't had a lot of that lately. That exposure.
There's something else to be said about the attitude, I guess, or the mindset of someone who is new and excited. Like, at least in the polyamorous community, people come into polyamory so fucking excited. They're so excited that there's a new way to live their life forever and ever, and they want to try this and they want to try that, and they're so excited, and look how evolved and special we are. Oh my god, this is so evolved and special and better thinking than everyone. And that's just... it gets a little... It's like, yeah, I feel you. I understand that you think this is really exciting.
And you sound almost exhausted.
You do, yeah. You sound jaded.
Maybe I'm jaded, but I just know what comes next.
Doesn't it?
Shira B. Katz, bitter vet of the polyamory movement.
Yeah, perhaps. It's just that all the bright-eyed, new, excitable people, like, it's so sweet, and I understand it, but I feel like... they're like a happy little bunny on their way to get, like, bopped on the head by the farmer.
Well, but they also might enjoy themselves. You know,
they're totally going to enjoy themselves. But
so why postpone the fact that they're going to get smacked down at some point?
No, I know. I'm just mentioning one last thing that makes it hard for me to interact with the newbies, because I'm the bitter old jaded veteran, right?
Yes.
The self-aggrandizing bitter jade.
Wow. I don't know that swinger newbies are the same in that sense. Like, I perceive a lot of newbies really struggling and really being nervous and really being just dipping a toe in, literally, not like diving in both feet first, like waving their arms saying, hey, look at me.
Well, I think also it might be because, you know, the swinging newbies often don't have any sort of community around them.
That's true.
And
until they arrive wherever they arrive. True.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at poly, there's poly meetup groups in every city in the country almost. You know, the poly people encourage the community that the swinging people seem to want, but still hide from.
Hmm.
You know, and that's interesting. That's an interesting thing that Kendra and I were talking about, Kendra Holiday, when we were down in St. Louis, is that the swingers don't often come out to their sex positive functions. And I pointed out it's because the swingers can hide easily from public view. It's harder for people who have relationships, so poly people, it's harder to be separate and appear, quote, normal than it is for the swingers. So the swingers often can't see the community. Like when Marilyn and I started, we didn't even really know there was a community. If we had known that we were going to find this awesome community, it would have been far less scary. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when Life on the Swing Set comes back, we're going to be talking about taking a vanilla person and converting them to a newbie, sort of somewhat non-monogamous person.
Like a conversion van?
Like a conversion van. It's part van, part house.
This is where Shira takes the newbie and dunks them under the water. And then, yeah, there we go.
Yes. And then they come up with two people under their arms.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Katz stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse, if you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Right. In the sex swing. And, even better.
We're going to be doing fun party-type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating thing. We're going to have a pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com. Or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel and we'll see you there.
Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we're talking about newbies and whether we like them or don't like them. And, well, we suppose we like them in general because without them, our communities don't grow.
It's true. Of course, I feel like there's, I mean, obviously there's a place for them, and obviously they can't just be dating a bunch of other newbies. Otherwise, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. Of course, I understand this.
But, of course, we like newbies because we all were newbies.
I like your concession to newbies. Sure,
I concede to the newbies, but here's the thing. There's one type of newbie that I seem to specialize in because as much it's true, it's as much as I am like newbies. It might just be because it's the newbies that I see who are already introduced. They're already like well down. They've made this decision and they're all excited and they run into it. What I personally find myself in the position is a position of is like in a kind of converty spot, I guess, where I seem to find someone out on the streets, some poor monogamous person who happens to run into Shira B. Katz, the poor bastard. And then kind of explaining to them, oh, hey, this is what I'm all about. And then they're intrigued and want to kind of follow the path down a little. And I end up doing, you know, some amount of conversion.
That's how we convert, too.
Yeah. And I feel completely comfortable in that role somehow in comparison to the role of the person with the Christopher Ryan and Tristan Taormino book under their arm and running up to me going, hey, guess what?
I usually get a poster and I write, would you like to have more sex on it? And then I stand up on the corner and then I give people flyers and then they usually take one and then just throw it away in the trash later.
Dylan, I want to make you a sandwich board.
Oh,
Dylan,
yes.
First winger president.
And a sign. A sandwich board and a sign. Just like Rorschach.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay. And Dylan for swinger president, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Of course, of course. Well, the conversion is completely alien to Prof and me. Like completely, I don't even know where to start. Like that is like the scariest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Like,
oh, I love the conversion. It's so rewarding.
Well, teach us. What are we missing? Like, why is
Dylan as a convertee? Dylan was a conversion.
Yeah,
from us.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Remember what happened?
I sired him.
Oh no!
You're his broodmaster.
Totally,
he totally is. No, that's what happened. I was out in the wilderness looking for new possibilities and not quite finding them. And then Cooper comes over in a trench coat and opens it and says, "Come here, I have something to show you."
Yes.
And then he sired me into it.
And I gave him the choice that I never had.
Yes.
See?
Wait, what? No.
Interview with the Vampire right there.
Oh, see, I was losing the metaphor because I haven't seen that movie.
I went there, and you just went with trench coat and something to show you, and that's creepy pedophile, really, is what that is.
I wasn't thinking pedophile, but no. I was thinking a guy in the corner selling watches or something like that.
I think that goes along with what Shira was saying, is that what we've done and what we did in your case was all we did was present that this is what we're doing. It wasn't even with the intent to change what you guys were doing.
And it didn't hurt that there was a little bit of honey at the end in the form of a Marilyn. For me. So.
Well, it never hurts when there's a Marilyn at the end.
It doesn't always have to be that way, but I'm just saying it works out nicely. That
no, she is a great enticement. Trust me, it's like this too can be yours.
Oh no,
that's a great pirate.
But so that's what you know. That's why I think you'd be excellent at conversion, Jen.
Yeah, Jen. What you're missing here is you have a new interest in life. And you're excited about it, and you're having a great time in it, and you may even have been living it for a long time. A new sport, a new interest, even a new television show. What do you want to do? You want to share that with people. Because it's fun to do things that you love with other people. I find in a lot of different areas of life that it happens that way. I mean, I find new interests every so often, and then all of a sudden I want to bring my friends in on it. And if they're not interested, it's okay. But things that I enjoy, I want to enjoy it with all the people that I like and care about, or all the people that I may meet later that I would like to enjoy and care about. So it's working for me that way with non-monogamy because I am enjoying it in so many ways, and I don't necessarily want all of my friends to be a part of that, but I want to share it with all of my friends that I really care about because of that. And if that means some of them come on over, that's great. I know I've been working on a couple for a long time, and they've been on the edge for so long that it's killing me.
The disappointing part is sometimes when you get them right on the edge there, and then they just retreat completely, and then it's just...
Well, they certainly have to make their own choices.
Well, yes,
and have to know what's right for them.
Of course.
But I can still share it with them. So
yeah,
I think that's what you're
just
missing.
So you basically just say, this is how we roll. And you put it out there and you just let them be like bask in the glow that is your awesomeness because you're open. Is that it?
Yeah, we take a page from the evangelicals.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
God is awesome. Don't you want to know him?
I think that's part of the reason why I like the older poly or the older swingers, the older, more experienced non-monogamous people, because we're not coming at it that way. We're like, this is what it is. I'm glad to tell you that it exists. I'm not saying that it's for everyone.
True.
But it might just be for you.
That's the same thing. You may have said it differently, but that's the exact same thing.
I don't think so. I think
it might
evangelical
just be for you.
Religious.
Absolutely.
Evangelical religious people think it's for everyone, and
oh,
it's
yeah.
the way.
I'm saying we're adapting what they do. We're not telling people that you have to do this. We're just telling people this is pretty awesome, and it might be what you need.
Yeah, it's just opening people's minds to the fact that it exists, and
which is a big thing because a lot of people still don't know it exists. Any form of non-monogamy, except for you know celebrities do that, and rock stars, and Newt Gingrich,
and Stephen Hawking,
and apparently Stephen Hawking, and wow.
I was just thinking about your sandwich board thing, and I actually think putting
on an
eagle
costume.
Do you want
to be naked under the sandwich board?
Yes,
that's
good too.
Was there a choice in that?
I was thinking about putting on an eagle costume instead, and then when I introduce myself to people, I say, "I've got something for you."
Now, Dylan, you realize that is a local Chicago television commercial. And will have no reference to anyone outside of the Chicagoland area until they go to YouTube and look up Eagle Man.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Which, along with Victory Auto Wreckers and the Empire Guy, are our television commercial heritage here in the Chicagoland area.
Oh, no.
And maybe Salesian or Chevrolet in Elmhurst on York and Roosevelt Road.
Where you always save more money.
Where you always save more money.
What are we doing? What happened?
We lost. We went. We went to really, really...
Are we going to start with an infomercial for Ginger, Dylan's erotica downloads, too?
Totally. We okay. have something
ringtones?
For you. Erotica download ringtones. Buy them now.
No, Shira, do you actually, because you had mentioned specifically that you liked how the older school swingers approach this.
I didn't say old school swingers. We're not allowed to say those words on the show.
No, we're not allowed to say old fucking swingers.
Wait, come on now, people.
Hold on.
Let me just clarify for
Circle
a second.
Back
when
around.
I say when I say old school swingers, I'm not talking about.
I think she was talking about old school polyamorous, though.
Were you talking about? I thought you were talking about old school swingers.
No, I meant all sorts. I don't mean old school. I'm not saying old. Just experienced. Experienced.
There we
people
go.
Who have been not necessarily of a different generation, but
I don't
more
attribute
of a different...
negative connotation to old school.
Neither do I.
So. You know,
old school to me, like, when you say something's old school, it's like, that's a different way of doing it. That's not what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Old school is just the way I kick it.
Yeah. I saw it as kind of a positive, like, I'm experienced and I've been doing this for a while and I have a certain cachet because of that. So for example, when I've hung around with older couples that are swingers, I consider them old school swingers, not because they practice a different brand or because, you know, it's because they're cool because they've been doing it and they're self-actualized or they've been self-actualized as far as sexuality for such a long time. That's the way I perceive it, and that's what I called old school.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, but no, I just prefer experienced people, that's all.
Okay.
Which is not to say that I've ever managed to successfully be in a relationship with experienced polyamorous people. But
is that right?
No, I'm completely serious. I'm dating one person actually right now who is experienced, and it's kind of awesome how frank and out front I can be with them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of awesome. Like, I went to them the other day and I said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not sure how I feel about this right now." And in return, they said, "Okay, that's fine. Just keep me posted on how that is." It wasn't drama. It wasn't a big deal. It was just like, "I think you should know this information." That person said, "Great. Thanks for letting me know. Let's see how that progresses." How awesome is that? It was simple. It was just awesome. We didn't have to unpack everything. We didn't have to pick it apart. It was just a sharing of information without all the crazy poly drama. I'm sorry, guys.
No, I just like the direction you went with that, honestly.
What do you mean?
That it was very specific of what you loved about that.
No, I get what you would say.
And the implication that it just does not happen that way.
It doesn't normally, not in my life, and maybe it does for other people.
Oh, I get why you might say that, though, because when I was brand new, I wasn't sure how to express certain things that were going on with the new couples that we were meeting. And so we did we were with people that we wouldn't otherwise necessarily have been, you know, people that we weren't necessarily attracted to or good matches for, because we were just enjoying being swingers and we didn't realize that we didn't really have a connection right away. Mm. And we didn't know how to express it right away. So it didn't cause drama because we found other ways of dealing with it, but not everybody figures out how to do that, and that can cause a lot of problems. I think it's really cool that you could actually say to somebody, "I'm not really sure about you, but I'm not calling it quits yet. Are you okay with that? You know, can you deal with that?"
Yeah.
Instead of that person feeling led on when all of a sudden you say that kind of thing to them, you know, that's cool.
It's wonderful. I can be like, "You know, I'm so hot for you, but I don't know about this dynamic that we have in whatever that situation is."
Mm-hmm.
And they can take the compliment there and see what we can work with and be really responsible and grown up about, you know, about what's being said rather than taking it to a really crazy emotional extreme polydrama place. And I think that only comes with like years and years of experience being like, oh man, I've totally been there before. I get it. Let's not cause a big fuss about this. Let's not over intellectualize and like freak out and cause more problems by thinking about it too hard, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So now we've all talked about how we feel about newbies. And I know I went into it a little bit earlier, but I want to know how you guys felt as newbies joining the open relationship lifestyles. I know Shira has been open since birth.
Yes, yes.
I was going to say, where's she going to start, right?
I'm so special. Yes.
Well, you are. You can claim that, you know. It's not a bad thing.
I am. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, and sure, you've talked about how when you were behaving in a non-monogamous fashion in your youth, you didn't really realize that it was your non-monogamous inclinations. It was that you felt like you were cheating or being a bad person and that. Am I right? Or am I misremembering?
It's not that I felt like I was cheating or being a bad person. It's just that I didn't, I talked about this a little bit with Pepper on a second interview that I had with him on pedestrian polyamory, but I'd be happy to talk about it more here if you don't think it would be repetitive.
Shameless plug.
That too.
And much alliteration.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. My interview with Peppermint on the Pedestrian Polyamory podcast. Anyhow, so really my initial forays into non-monogamy was me trying to find a relationship like style that I felt fits with me. Like, and the only thing that I had was, you know, the old 1950s style dating, like before you were going steady with someone, you were allowed to date, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, in 1950s, you weren't fucking them and you probably weren't even kissing them. You were
sure,
just dating.
Some people are even holding hands now.
Ooh.
But I think that's moving too fast.
Ooh. But, you know, that's kind of how I expressed myself, just by like, you know what, I'm just not going to go steady with anyone. I'm just going to date for a while. But, I mean, I still fell prey to the fallacy that I needed to pick one at the end.
I'm dying to know what Ginger was like as a newbie. Because I don't think we've ever really delved into that.
Really? Oh my god, we haven't. Please.
No. Oh boy. Well, it's hard to reflect on how we were as newbies from the outside. So, but I want to, it's interesting. I certainly know that when we went to our very first party, we sat in the parking lot for a stretch because I was freaking out. I don't know if Prof was freaking out. I think he was freaking out kind of in his own way, but like in his very like calm, steely nerves sort of way. Like he was just like, hey, decision's been made. Let's just do this. And I was just freaking out.
That really does fit his personality, by the way.
Oh, which part?
We've decided this. We're all on board.
Yes, yes. We're gonna do this.
We're gonna win this.
Yeah, that is true. That fits very. I don't know how one wins a swinger party, but
by going and doing it.
Yeah. So there
totally
you go.
Won it.
Yes, but we were. I was hesitant, and so we kind of had our little in the car freak out, and it was kind of like, okay, we're here. Let's just go in and see what happens. And if it's not for us, then we just turn around and walk out. And we literally did. In my mind, I was going to walk in to there would be a fog machine going and there'd be people hanging from trapeze.
So you were going to play those retreat in your mind.
I guess. Yeah. And there was going to be sex everywhere as soon as we walked in, and we weren't going to be able to see really anybody's faces really clearly. And I mean, it was just, my gosh, what my mind.
You just watched Eyes Wide Shut and it's terrifying.
Right, exactly. And we went in and there's like all these people just like having a cocktail party. And I was kind of like, huh, wow, I'm not sure. Like, it was such, it was so boggling to me that I didn't know what to do at first. I was just like, what is going on here? And then once we started to chat with people, it was just easy. And we started chatting. And one of the first conversations that we had was with a woman who disclosed that one of her best workouts is having sex in the sex swing. And we got in this big, long conversation about how much she loves her sex swing and feel my abs. I'm like, I don't know if I want to feel your abs. Like, I just met you, but apparently she didn't want me to feel her abs. She wanted Prof to feel her abs. But, and then, you know, we got into this big, long conversation about sex swings and how do you hide the hook, and we hang a fern from ours. And I was just like, wow, this is cool. And at that party, we just kind of slid right into things in terms of just we were so at home that I know that we were newbies, and we were newbies in some ways the way Shira dislikes newbies. We were like, "Wee! Look at how awesome we are. Look at how liberated we are. I'm going to wear a corset to this party." Although it's funny, because one thing that was different when we were newbies that is vastly different than now is I was always the most conservatively dressed in the room by far. And it took me a while to get to a place where I could dress in more, just go to a lingerie party in just lingerie. Or, you know, it was like it was a lingerie party, but I just had a lingerie top on and a skirt and maybe a sweater over top of it.
Overcoat.
Right, exactly. You know, overcoat, scarf, parka, right.
It is New England, after all.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, plenty of clothes. But that slowly kind of melted away. And I just think socially, it was so much fun for us. And everything else kind of fell into place. And in terms of engaging having, you know, sexy time the first time, that is a fun story. We're still sexy friends with our first couple, and I refer to them quite a bit, and we're very close with them, and they're just fantastic. And I do remember an opportunity that we had that Prof and I didn't realize it was an opportunity to engage with them and play with them, but it totally was. And looking back on it, we were like, oh my gosh, how'd we miss that? Like, they were loitering. Like, they were like in our room. They were, you know, you name it. And then they finally must have just gotten like, you know, the, all right, well, have a good night. And they went to the group space and we were like, oh, what were we supposed to do? You know? And so there was a sort of a missed opportunity there, but that was just, I go to that place like, we so missed 8 million, you know, let's do this flags, you know what I mean? So that newbie place, like, we were there, like, we completely missed it with them. We didn't miss it the next time, because I think that they regrouped afterwards and came back at us, like, you know, with a billboard making it very clear their intentions. But
did they pass you the note that says, I like you, do you like me, check yes or no?
I know, circle yes or no, exactly. I mean it was pretty much that. But I do reflect on that experience when we are communicating with people and don't really know how much experience they have, that we missed so many pieces of the puzzle when we were newbies. Like, mm-hmm. We just missed a lot of nuanced communication that wasn't direct verbal communication. So we're very clear about our direct verbal communication all the time, regardless of whether folks are newbies or not, because that is a lesson I learned from us being newbies. So I guess in summary, I mean, I wear fewer clothes and you know, I freaked out at the beginning and socially it was fun, but we missed a whole lot of what people were trying to tell us and a lot of the flirt messages when we were newbies. And so that has really informed the way we do things now.
I have a feeling like I'm missing a lot of standard poly cues right now, since that's where we're focusing some of our energy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, how do I move things to the next level with someone? I'm not sure. Or will this person be insulted if I actually want to be a little more intimate with them? I'm not sure how to approach that yet. And so I actually, for the first time in a long time, I felt like a teenage guy that didn't know how to tell his girlfriend that, you know, hey, I want to bang you, but I don't want to offend you or turn you off and make you not want to be with me.
Yeah, I'm playing a very dorky game right now with my potential poly.
And it's so
friend.
Silly because I feel like I should just say, you know, you want to go have some fun or something? And I feel like
I
that'd be okay
good,
to do.
Good place to go. Because oh, I think that's something that poly people don't actually grasp onto for a while, that it's okay to say, hey, I would like to have sexy times with you now. And that's an okay thing, and it's really important to learn that you have to actually say it sometimes, because arrangements aren't always going to be easy.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, I'm not going to go into poly doctor mode.
I played
poly doctor. Love it.
I played the, so next time, you know, why don't we go to dinner and then come back to my place, because I'd like to spend some alone time with you.
That is perfect.
And? I was totally proud of that one. Didn't even get all dorky or anything.
That's perfect. And?
Oh, yes, we're doing that Monday.
Ooh, cool.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And then
I hit on a TV series she absolutely adores today, so I scored huge, huge poly brownie points.
That's awesome.
Pretty good stuff.
I wanted to say one last thing is I look back at being non-monogamous and I don't feel like I got my shit together until I was literally 8 years into it. So
wow.
I just wanted to throw that out there. 8 years. It took me 8 years to get my shit together. Your marriage may vary, but but no, truly, like whatever happens for you, I'm obviously crippled and inept, but surely it takes a long, long, long time to get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we go, I want to pull it over to Cooper's review corner. We got something awesome in the mail. We got Tristan Taramino's expert guide to pegging video.
Ooh.
And now the best part
Cooper.
About it is, when I bragged about this on Twitter, I found out that we got our copy before Tristan and before Jiz Lee got her copy. So
what?
Naturally, I invited them both over to watch it.
Of course.
Neither has yet taken us up on the idea. But we watched it on Valentine's Day, and it kicks ass. You know, Tristan, she's got a really good vision for what's sexy. And the best part is, it seems like she took my suggestion, which is to give us the opportunity to watch the sexy stuff by itself without all the interviews. And
oh,
so
really?
it's like two parts now. So the first part is there's interviews, there's discussion on pegging, there's discussion on anal play and how to lead up to it. And it's interspersed with bits of play and footage from these three couples. Dylan Ryan's in there and Jiz Lee's in there, and it's awesome. And then at the in the second half, you can watch these unedited sessions with each of these couples. So you can watch it in porn mode, and it's fantastic. And then you can watch it in education mode, and it's fantastic. And Marilyn discovered something that she hadn't realized she'd like when Jiz Lee had her strap-on on under her jeans, and it was hanging out of the fly, and she had her her partner sucking on it. So Marilyn discovered that she really likes that that gender play idea.
That's really hot.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, this is, if you have any interest in exploring this in your relationship, this is a great primer to it, because it goes over all the safety and cleanliness things. And Tristan is, she's really funny because she's so educational, and then she's just, you can tell when she gets to something that she really likes because her smile gets a little bigger. And she gets a little more excited. It's great. So, I highly recommend that video. And it goes over things like butt plugs and rim jobs and fingering and safety and all that. And it's really, really well done. Highly recommended.
I am so excited to see it. I cannot wait.
Well, you are also welcome to come over when Tristan and Gisli come over to hang out with us and watch it.
I assumed that. Thank you for the invitation, but
I know the invitation goes without saying, Jim, but I just wanted to extend it anyway.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Huh. Yeah.
So definitely pick it up. Okay, well, you can like us on facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us all on Twitter @SwingsetLife. @GingerAndTheProf, @ShiraBCats, and @Dylan_SwingSet. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, send us a text message, 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. So thank you all for talking about newbies and newbie experiences here tonight. And thank you, listeners, for swinging by.
Hey there, Swingset fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can be the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. Do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1-2 sentence review. It'll take a few minutes, but it'll help us spread the word. If you're on a mobile device and want to listen to any of our episodes on demand, search for and download Stitcher, and our entire library will be available at your fingertips. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.